Now, a customs officer stamps a woman's passport with a Brazil seal. As she leaves the checkpoint, she glances back at a young man. Titles: Christine Lottie as Rose, Revenge of the Middle-Aged Woman.
That's me. I was in my early 20s, which meant I knew absolutely everything about absolutely everything. In the dictionary under Wise, Insightful Woman, is a picture of me. So, here I am, making a major life decision, choosing a real future over a fleeting romantic moment. I wasn't a silly girl, slave to my emotions. Heartache is a game of choice, and I chose not to play.
On the plane, a man offers Rose a tissue. More titles: Brian Kerwin, Abby Brumel, Carolyn Aaron, Maggie Lawson, Cynthia Harris, Reed Scott, Amanda Hastings Phillips, Christopher Wheel, Chris William Martin, and Brian Brown. Co-executive producer Laura Brownson, executive producer Dan Wigetow, based on the book by Elizabeth Buchan, teleplay by Nancy Silvers, directed by Sheldon Larry. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS, described by Paula Broussard, Stacey Perlman, Matthew Lane, and Justin Soule, read by Gailey Heidemann.
Feel free to use my shoulder to sleep on. I never sleep on planes in case the pilot needs me.
Are you a pilot?
No, but I'm very good with maps. I fold, unfold.
She grins.
A smile. My work here is done.
They exchange a warm look. Later, Nathan extends his hand.
My name's Nathan Lloyd.
Rose Morrow.
Would you like to take a taxi into the city with me, Rose? We've already slept together. We should see if we can drive together.
Sure.
They make their way down the aisle.
I never would have guessed that a taxi ride would turn into dinner and breakfast.
Now the middle-aged Rose wakes.
I'll make the coffee.
Nathan wakes next to her.
Oh, it's only 6 o'clock. Coffee can make itself.
I've got an early meeting. I'll make the coffee. You sleep another hour, I'll see you at the office.
No, it's too late. I'm already up.
Her eyes remain closed. Now a sign reads, Los Angeles Chronicle. Rose greets a young blonde.
Morning, Mindy.
The review in the Times just came in. It's hilariously vindictive. This man is a fraud and his book is worse.
Ooh, what did he do to deserve that kind of diatribe?
Sold lots of copies, of course. People in New York are threatened by any sign of West Coast literacy.
Here, you review it. Remember, be objective, but personally offended.
Mindy stares at Hal's book.
You know, you didn't review his last two books, and you haven't attended one of his book signings.
So?
There's a great picture of him on the back. Yeah.
The book's jacket shows a rugged gray-haired man.
Still cute.
Residual feelings creeping in?
Oh, please, it was 100 years ago.
There's a big story coming out about Governor Grant. Seems he's been having an affair and got caught. Mistress with exotic tastes. The wife, of course, is the last to know.
Of course.
Staff section's shot to hell. They're scrambling, trying to cover the mistress's clothes and shoe selection.
They're taking space from books?
I haven't heard. But I don't think she can read. It seems the governor's mistress was once known as Misty Treats and can be found in adult entertainment.
Shh, don't gossip.
Don't breathe.
That can't be all his fault. The wife must have done something to alienate her husband.
Right, she probably bore him a house full of children, changed a million diapers, gave up adult conversation and her ways for years, and then actually had the nerve to let her breasts sag a little.
Rose makes a call.
Which is the reason why I will never give birth. Okay, one of the reasons.
Nathan, are you cutting space from books to make room for the governor's affair?
Mindy leans close.
Okay, that's just great. Yep, have to cut half a page.
Well, you know he's just testing you. He probably told Food that they have to cut a half a page, too. He's waiting to see who caves first. Trust me on this.
In the hallway, Nathan distributes files.
Nice work.
Run it by legal. Sorry about the cuts, ladies. Couldn't be helped.
Couldn't be helped. You're the editor. You make the final decisions.
She's right. You sacrifice books to the lions.
Wrong. The public makes the decisions, and they'd rather know about the governor's sex life than his reading habits.
Out of here. God, that man can be so impossible. Tom, would you check out next month's reviews?
Tom's screen stops at a review called Congress of Love.
Thanks. That's the one.
Rose makes a call.
Yeah, Dan, scratch what we have. I'm sending you a review of a book that's coming out next month. It's called Congress of Love. It's about a senator who has an affair with his kid's nanny. Yeah. The teaser, which I suggest you go on the front page, should read, Is Life Imitating Fiction? That's right. Yeah. You're welcome.
Bravo.
So we make the cuts and get a front page lead in. How did you think of that?
Because I'm a woman and women are brilliant, devious, and conniving. It's the extra X chromosome that keeps us on our toes.
Well, I'm a woman.
Yeah, but you're young. Give yourself some time.
Are you saying that you're old?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I'm older than you. See, Oprah says that 50 is the new 30, and I believe her.
Nighttime. Rose and Nathan fall breathlessly onto the bed sheets. Nathan leans in for a kiss, then rolls next to her and holds her close. They snuggle.
That was nice.
Remind me why we don't do that more often.
Nathan stares off thoughtfully.
What do you think?
Well, no, nothing. I was just tired. Go to sleep.
Morning. A jogger runs past a spacious craftsman home bordered by a colorful garden. On her porch, Rose dials a phone. In a bedroom, pink sheets and blankets cover a sleeping form. A hand reaches out.
What? Hi, sweetheart.
Why are you calling me so early in the morning?
Honey, it's almost 11 o'clock.
Yeah, well, I'm a grown woman. If I don't want to get up at the crack of dawn like you, I shouldn't have to.
Sorry, dear. Call me when you wake up.
Fine.
She hangs up.
No, I love you more.
Rose stares at a bush of blooming white roses. Now, as she trims leaves from stems and places them in water, Nathan approaches.
What is your obsession with white?
What? Picasso had his blue period. I'm in my white period.
Rosie, we have to talk.
Ooh, I am so sorry. I didn't realize it was so late. Mindy called in sick today, and I was just swamped. But I'm almost finished. Oh, where do you want to go to dinner?
Rose.
They say we can't go to Fong's anymore. They just got a B. Apparently, above average is not good enough for noodles.
Rosie, can we just talk now?
Yeah, what's wrong? Ooh, I see that weird throbbing vein thing in your head.
No, I'm fine.
What?
Okay, sit down.
It's not about the kids, is it?
Not about the kids.
Pursing his lips, he paces.
Rosie, we've been happy together, haven't we?
Is this a trick question? And does the answer involve math? Because you know how I am with math.
Please, just answer me.
Okay, yes, we've been very happy. What's wrong?
And I think so, too. Despite the fact that I was not your first choice, I still have been happy.
Oh, you can't possibly mean how.
Well, I saw that he refused to review another one of his books.
Nathan, why are you bringing up this man after so many years? Come on, what's happened?
He shifts on his feet, then sits.
There's no easy way to say this. I'll just, say it.
Rose stares at him, perplexed.
I can't read your mind. Are you sick?
I've met someone else.
Is her name Misty Trees, and has she ever been in Penthouse? Because the governor's met her first, so. What?
This is so hard. I don't know how I can tell you.
Tell me what?
Well, I've met someone else, and I've fallen in love with her.
Rose shakes her head.
What?
It's true.
No. You're lying. I would have known if you were with another woman.
I'm sorry, Rosie. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, as long as you're sorry. Why are you telling me this?
Isn't that obvious?
No, guilt, remorse, mental breakdown of some kind, what?
Rosie, we have to talk about this.
Oh, wait. You are telling me you're having an affair and you want me to go over the fine print with you? But would you want some advice on what kind of underwear to buy her? Victoria's Secret is having a sale. No. Go to hell.
She starts to leave.
Look, you have every right to be angry.
Oh, that is good to know, but I have a question. Why are you telling me all this? Really, what is the upside for you? Why don't you just keep your mouth shut like the rest of your lying, cheating, deceitful gender?
He shrugs and stares at her pleadingly. She meets his gaze.
Oh, my God.
She takes a few steps away, then faces him.
You're not just clearing your conscience here, are you? You want to leave home. You want to leave me. What about the kids?
But the kids are 21 and 22 years old. They'll be fine. And it's just when I'm with her, I feel alive.
Alive. Oh, is that what they call sex now? How long? With who?
About, a year.
A year? My God. I thought you were going to say 2 weeks. A year. Hmm. Unless you've been having affairs before.
No, I promise you.
And we know your word is solid as a rock, don't we? Who is she?
Nathan shifts awkwardly.
It's, it's Mindy.
Rose's gaze shifts.
I'm sorry. Who?
Nathan swallows and drops his gaze. Now on the porch, Rose exits. Her eyes red with tears, she stares at the street and takes deep breaths. She sits on a swinging bench, holding her purse primly in her lap. Opening the purse, she rummages through its contents, then dumps them out onto the ground. Staring across the porch, she remembers Mindy and Nathan meeting.
Honey, remember Mindy, my assistant? This is Nathan.
Of course I do.
Ah, your flowers are so beautiful.
Thank you.
Don't call them flowers. She thinks they're her children. She'd breastfeed them if she could.
Oh, nonsense. I like them far more than the children.
They must bring out your exotic side.
Exotic?
Yeah, Rose told me she spent a lot of her youth traveling the world with the writer Hal Thorne.
She told you that.
I did not. Okay, well, I did in passing, but...
You see, she's stuttering because she doesn't like to admit that she settled for me when she really wanted a life of adventure with Hal Thorne.
That is so ridiculous. I'm not even going to comment.
She missed him with water.
Now, I'm going to go get those books. Would you mind keeping her company?
Help yourself.
As Rose recalls herself passing on her way into the house, Nathan motions Mindy toward a pitcher and glass. The memory disappears. Now in the present, Rose removes her wedding ring.
I'd always planned on dying 6 months after Nathan died. I figured I wouldn't be able to go on without him. My whole plan is falling apart. How will I know when to die?
She throws the ring in her purse, then replaces its contents. Now Rose lies in bed. She picks up the receiver, then hangs up. In his office, Nathan redials the phone. Rose answers.
What?
I wanted to know how you are.
How I am? Want to know how I am?
She slams down the receiver. In his office, Nathan presses the handset pensively against his chin, then redials. Rose answers.
Rose?
Where are you calling from?
My office. I'm staying at a hotel.
You haven't moved into Mindy's love nest. What's the delay?
She's not ready for that yet. I respect her for that.
Me too. Among the many other things I respect her for.
Listen, please listen.
How did I not know you were so unhappy? Why don't you just tell me how you felt?
Rose, I didn't even know.
Right. So were you ever happy in this marriage?
You know I was.
I'm going to be fair about the money. I'm not going to leave you without everything you need.
Aw, thanks. I wouldn't want to be without everything I need.
Rose hangs up. Nathan dials again. Rose throws down the phone.
Shut up!
Now in a kitchen, a brassy-haired woman in a colorful sequin top searches for her phone.
Hello?
Hello, Matt.
Oh, hi, Rose. No, I can't talk.
talk long because Carter will not stay in a timeout, so I may have to go in there and sit on him.
Manny Cathy is having a massage. God forbid.
I don't make her feel like I appreciate her.
Why don't you fire her?
Oh, honey, who would raise the children?
Dad? Nathan left me.
What?
Oh, it gets worse. He left me for Mindy.
Sitting on the floor, Rose eats ice cream from a carton. She thinks to herself,
this wasn't supposed to happen to me. I'm the best I've ever been. I've weathered storms and achieved all my goals. When did I become such a cliche?
She reaches again for the carton and eats more ice cream. Now in her garden, she vigorously shovels a flower bed. Maddie arrives.
I came as soon as I could. Nanny Cathy had Pilates till 4. Why don't you fire her? Well, she's teaching the kids a foreign language.
What? Spanish?
Pig Latin. How are you?
Maddie grabs the hoe.
Rose.
They hug.
Rose.
Sobbing, Rose wraps her arms around her friend.
How did you miss the signs? There are always signs.
What signs?
Did he buy new underwear?
No.
Start doing sit-ups and flossing more?
No.
Getting Paige to dinner?
No. None of it. Or maybe all of it. I don't know. I wasn't keeping tabs, you know. I thought we were married.
We need to drink. Serious drinking. Kind of drinking that leads to blackouts and support groups.
No.
You have any vodka? Oh, never mind.
She pulls out a bottle.
I brought my own.
Later inside, they drink from martini glasses.
But don't you have to get home to your children?
No, I told Elliot that I was spending the night at the hospital because I was having, you know, some minor plastic surgery.
But when he realized you didn't, when you get home?
Elliot? He wouldn't notice if I had my breasts sewed to my feet.
Maddie reaches for the bottle of vodka. It's empty.
I never told you this. I don't know why. I was so pissed.
What?
Elliot cheated on me.
No, you're kidding. Why didn't you tell me?
One day I found condoms in Elliot's drawer. Oh. Only we don't use condoms. Because after $30,000 of infertility treatments, I found out I can't get pregnant like a normal person. Denny has the nerve to lie to me, to say to me that they're not his condoms. Then why would he put them in the drawer that we share? You know, the drawer with the Pepto-Bismol and the aspirin.
So what happened?
Well, when I was in the middle of my diatribe of emasculation, I remembered that I had gone grocery shopping that day. It was the big shop, the Monday shop. I went back and I checked the receipt, and I bought the condoms by mistake. It must have fallen in with the frozen waffles and the cornflakes. And then Violetta must have put them away.
So what? Then you told him and you apologized?
No. I told him that I forgave him and I promised I would never throw it in his face again. After all, we have small children to raise.
Morning. Rose lies with a pillow over her head. A young man enters.
Mom?
Oh.
Mom?
Oh.
I don't believe it. You okay?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Annie.
Dad has completely lost his mind.
You know, it's all the cigars and red meat that he eats.
As soon as he realizes what he's done, he'll come back.
He points to a glass and decanter.
You haven't slipped into alcoholism already, have you?
Oh, no, son. I just felt the need to drink too much too fast and for all the wrong reasons. Oh, don't do as I do. Do as I say do.
I'll make you some coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, Alice would be here too, but she had to work.
How is Alice?
Good. Great. She sends her love.
Good. Oh, you haven't told your sister yet, have you?
Dad called me, so I assume he called Rachel, too.
No, I wanted to tell her in my own way. You know how sensitive she is.
Mom, She's not sensitive. She's narcissistic. She's going to find some way to make this all about her.
I think you're underestimating your sister.
Oh, my God. Mom?
Rachel runs in.
What happened? What did you do? It's nothing Sam or I did, is it?
Transference. Completely expected of a narcissist.
Of course not, sweetheart. As soon as Dad called, I came. I drove all night.
You live 40 minutes away.
I had finals, Mom, but how could I think of doing anything after Dad called? I knew you'd need me, so I came as soon as I could. I'm here for you.
Thank you, sweet.
Is there anything to eat?
Oh. Maddie emerges from under the covers.
Good morning, Matt.
Oh,
I want to make some breakfast. Pancakes stuffed with aspirin and coffee.
Good.
As Rose heads out, a young man with long curly hair startles her.
Oh, Richard. Rachel didn't say that you were coming.
It is totally screwed up what Nathan did.
Rose and Rachel gape.
And she might be a babe, but still, it's wicked twisted.
Thank you, Richard, for those kind words.
Richard taps his chest with his fist. Rachel grins proudly and the two head out.
I have Xanax and Valium. I can have you oblivious and drooling in minutes.
No, thanks. I have to be alert in case I need to kill myself.
Now in the kitchen.
I read about this in psych class. Men by nature need to hunt.
What are you talking about?
Men need to feel needed and wanted. They reach an age when they yearn for their lost youth when they hunted.
This is a class we pay for? What class is this?
Men and all the stupid things they do to ruin our lives 101.
Actually, not all men are jerks. My dad's a really great guy. If he ever leaves my mom, I'll totally hook you up.
Rose and Maddie swap looks.
Thank you.
Oh, speaking of jerks, where's the lovely Alice?
Sam rolls his eyes.
She's working.
God forbid she take time off to be with her boyfriend during a family crisis.
What is that supposed to mean?
You do everything for her, and she is never there for you. She's totally using you.
Rachel, I'm a psychology major. Okay, I think I would know if I was being used.
Then, doctor, heal thyself.
Guys, your dad and I are going to work things out. I don't want you to worry. Okay?
Can I ask a question?
Oh. Yeah, your dad and I were still sexually active, and no, I don't think he's using Viagra.
Ew. I was gonna ask if you would make Rice Krispie treats for the drive back.
Oh. Happy to.
Grimacing, Sam pushes his plate away. Now in the bathroom, Rose applies makeup in front of a vanity mirror.
Wait, that's not me. There must be some kind of mistake. I'm young and beautiful. Who is that woman who looks so much like my mother?
Rose squints, then holds her face taut, erasing the wrinkles.
There you are. Yeah. If I could only walk around all day like this.
She smiles into the mirror. Now at the Los Angeles Chronicle, Rose enters the office and touches a sleeping security guard.
Morning, Carl.
As she heads down the row of offices, Tom steps out.
Bitch.
Excuse me?
She is a bitch and a whore. And a backstabbing, Target shopping, blue eyeshadow, fake Prada, push-up bra-wearing slut.
Thank you.
You have every right to kick her bright smile teeth through her collagen lips. There's not a jury in the world that would convict you.
Rose, I want you to know, I feel just...
Thanks.
I'm outraged, but...
The co-worker searches for words.
And there you go.
She lowers her head and walks off.
I'm fine, really.
I'm fine, everybody. I'm fine.
Rose enters her office and closes the door. Releasing a sigh, she approaches her desk and presses a key on the computer.
You have mail.
Of course I have mail. I'm a very busy woman. What'd you expect? I was gonna stay home and hide under the bed, huh?
She turns away from the screen.
Okay, I'm talking to my computer and I'm expecting it to answer. This is not a high point.
Rose removes a pair of sunglasses and takes a seat. As she writes on a pad, Mindy enters. Rose looks up and eyes her warily. With her arms folded, Mindy steps closer.
You're here? Actually thought it was acceptable, and by acceptable, I mean safe?
For you to be here?
I feel awful.
Please leave.
I'm gonna ask to be fired.
I considered not coming in today, but I thought I owed it to you.
Oh, thoughtful. We were friends, remember? I gave you this job, I started your career.
And I've thanked you many times.
Yeah.
The truth is, Nathan said he needed some attention, and I gave it to him.
And you believed him? Oh, and I thought you were so smart. Nathan is a 53-year-old man. Oh. He doesn't know what he needs until I tell him.
As Mindy smirks, Rose picks up a book and examines it.
Was it you or him?
It was me.
Mindy cocks her head.
I don't think Nathan even knew what was happening until it was too late.
You sucker punched him, huh?
It was just a fling to begin with. There was nothing for you to worry about. And then things got complicated and you had to be told.
Rose furrows her brow.
Nathan is a wonderful man.
Believe me, I get it. He is wonderful.
What a pity you didn't tell him.
Rose glares at her.
For what it's worth, I'm sorry it was you.
Rose storms out. Now she walks down a hallway to a secretary's desk.
Hey, Sarah.
Go on in. He's expecting you.
Thank you.
She enters an office.
Come in.
Oh, Rose. Oh, you look awful.
Thanks. Every little bit helps.
No, you know what I mean. Nathan told me everything, so I've had time to appraise the situation.
Then I'm sure you agree that I can't work with Mindy.
You know, I am so sorry that you've reached this crisis in your marriage. You know, it's peaks and valleys. Peaks and valleys, and then it's only valleys. Third time I got divorced, I swore I'd never marry again.
But you're married now.
And so it goes. Would you like a caffeine-free diet
soda? No, thanks.
You know, the truth is, change is coming faster than ever, and we have got to try to stay on top of things. You know, the pages need to be sharper, sexier, more celebrity, more excitement. You know, younger. A radical change.
I'm radical. I can do that.
I know you can, but fact is, I've already decided to take an absolutely fresh approach, which means that we'll be letting you go.
A grin fades from her face.
I'm sorry?
No, Rose, I'm sorry. 10 years in one job, that's a long time. But we are treating you fairly in this. Jenny in Human Resources is creating a severance package for you. Now, you take all the time you need to pack up your things. And, you know, spend a couple of minutes in the supply closet. Take what you need. I'll close my eyes.
What about the pages?
I've asked Mindy to take over your job.
Rose nods, tight-lipped.
Believe me, this was not an easy decision.
A tear rolls down her cheek. She wipes it away.
I'm sorry I'm still here. My mind is calling you a total scumbag. I am storming out of this office and slamming the door, but my...
Her head drops.
My feet don't seem to want to cooperate.
I understand. Take your time.
Rose covers her mouth and wipes away more tears. As Simon offers her a soda, she rejects it. He heads to a rear door, then turns around.
Oh.
Sniffling, Rose takes a deep breath and straightens her shoulders. She walks out of the office and finds Nathan waiting outside.
Rose.
Did you know?
I just found out this morning. I would never do that to
you. Why didn't you just tell me you were so unhappy? You could have had your stupid affair and then come back once you realized how stupid, shallow, selfish, and incredibly ridiculous you were being. You know, I wouldn't have killed you. Really, I'm flexible.
Rose, I just want a fresh start. I've fallen
in love with Mindy.
Mindy.
Yeah, Mindy, you know, whatever this is, this thing, this episode you're having, we can get through this, Nathan. We can. I wish you hadn't told me, but I can deal with it. I know these things happen to desperately insecure, thoughtless older men. But do not tell me that this is a midlife crisis, because unless you're planning on living to 106, you are well past that milestone, sweetheart. So don't even...
Nathan, you need it in the boardroom, red alert.
Sarah,
yeah, the governor's wife just killed herself.
Rose's jaw drops. With a shocked look, Nathan turns to Rose, then points down the hallway and leaves. Now on TV.
The governor's wife was only 37. They had two teenage daughters. The youngest one discovered her mother's body hanging from the banister early this morning.
In her office, Rose packs. She thinks.
Is this really my life? I don't recognize it. My husband and my job in the same week. My entire identity washed away.
She closes a box.
Wait, maybe this is all a dream.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll wake up and find my life is just as it was.
As she shakes her head in laughter, Tom watches. Grinning, she picks up a box and heads for the door. She turns around and shushes Tom. Now in the main office, newspaper staffers look up from their desks. Taking a deep breath, Rose walks past the watchful eyes. A red-headed woman frowns and cocks her head.
I'm so sorry. Wish there was something you could do.
It's okay.
A blonde woman pouts and nods at Rose.
Ooh. Awfully long dream.
Yeah.
She looks around at the office.
Maybe I'm in a coma. Maybe I'm unconscious and living all my nightmares at once.
Let me die. Pull the plug. Do not resuscitate.
As another worker frowns, Rose shifts her eyes and gives them a smile.
I'm sorry, I'm just having a bad day. Bye.
Now at an outdoor cafe, Rose sits alone with several cups of coffee.
Women over 40 are invisible. I could sit here all day, be alone with my thoughts, and no one would even notice me.
She looks at the surrounding tables and shakes her head. As Rose glances back a second time, a young, dark-haired man gazes her way. She faces forward, then throws him a look. The young man grins, giving Rose a slight smile. He converses with a friend, then points to her table and heads over.
Hi. Hi. You can see me?
She lowers her head.
Sorry, ma'am, are you using this chair?
Never mind, go ahead. I was just leaving anyway.
Thanks.
As he pulls the chair away, Rose's grin fades. She thinks.
I go home, take all my sleeping pills and kill myself, but I've had so much coffee, I probably never even get drowsy.
Putting a cup down, Rose walks away from the cafe and waves to the seated young man. With a stern look, Rose walks briskly down a street.
Who the hell does Mindy think she is? I'm not gonna sit by and let the little twit get away with this. No way. No. Oh, I know where she is. I know where to find her, and I'm gonna go fight for what's mine.
Rose pumps her arms and runs. Now she races into a gym. Stopping at the front desk, Rose bends over and catches her breath. The receptionist watches. She walks past the desk and enters a room with a step aerobics class in progress. As she strolls by the energetic women, Rose lifts her arms in unison with the class. Now she enters a locker room. While several women change, Rose searches each row. Spotting Mindy, she ducks back against a locker and peeks at the younger woman. In only a bra and panties, Mindy rubs lotion on her shapely, fit body.
Oh my God.
Rose leans her head back.
She's perfect. Of course he wants her. I want her.
As Mindy rubs her thigh, Rose rolls her eyes. Holding her chest, she turns and walks out of the locker room. She takes a towel and dabs her face. Rose heads past the aerobics class and raises her arms, now at a Tudor-style house.
This is nothing to worry about. That woman is simply a bad case of indigestion.
Oh, you always say the right thing, Mom.
Men are like children. They want what they see in the candy store all wrapped up in shiny paper. They take it home, eat it all at once, and get sick. You just have to wait till Nathan feels better. He'll come home.
I don't think so.
He's just scared. He's worried that he's no longer a young stud. He's trying to regain his confidence, and he thinks the girl will do that for him.
Mom, this is Nathan we're talking about, not some pathetic middle-aged chauvinist.
Get the good china cups. We need the beauty to distract us. He's high on testosterone, but he'll crash, and he'll realize you were his soft place to fall.
I don't think so. He's determined. You know, Nathan, he wouldn't have even told me about it unless he'd thought this through.
Amelia pours tea.
It's non-fat soy. I've become lactose intolerant. I'm also shrinking a half an inch every year. If I live to be 80, I'll be the height of a coffee table. Just go home, keep his chair warm. He'll be back. He'll be punished, but he'll go on. I give it a week.
So I'm supposed to just let him have this affair and make a total fool out of me, right? And then I just
wait patiently with open arms to see if he changes his mind and comes home?
You didn't see me give up on your father when he left me.
Dad didn't leave you, Mom. He died.
Gone is gone.
She shifts her eyes. In the garden, a breeze rustles flowers on a bush. In her bedroom, Rose waters a plant. She walks across the room and sprays the leaves of some others. Now she pours from the watering can into a small vase of flowers on a nightstand. As she heads out, Rose turns back. She opens a closet door and inspects a hanging shoe rack full of men's shoes. Knitting her brow, Rose lifts the can and waters several pairs of loafers. She purses her lips, then waves the can over more shoes. With a smile, Rose sprays them with the other hand. She leans toward the window, continues watering, and walks downstairs. Through the peephole, Nathan uses the knocker. Rose spots him and grins.
Good timing, Mom. 1 week to the day.
Who is it?
It's me. Can I come in?
She opens the door.
Hello. Hi. I need some things. So I thought I'd come by and pack them up.
Oh. Fine. Let's go on in.
Nathan enters and passes Rose. She shakes her head and sighs deeply. Now as he heads downstairs, Rose rushes away and grabs the watering can. He approaches her in the living room.
Well, I'm going to get going. Was there a leak in the closet? All my shoes are wet.
Really? Odd.
You got a headache?
Yeah.
Well, if you're getting sick, you ought to take some echinacea.
Go home, Nathan.
He frowns.
You won't believe this, but I love you very much, and I hate how I'm making you feel.
Oh, really?
Nathan lowers his head.
I left you a check on the bedside table.
He picks up a bag and heads out. As she holds the sides of her head, he stops and picks up a copy of Hal's book.
Hal?
I saw him at our wedding.
I know he was there. I never told you that, but I saw him there.
Yeah. Well, he came to our wedding to beg me not to marry you, and I asked him to leave, and he did. 25 freaking years ago!
She motions for Nathan to leave. He sets down the book and walks out. Rose slams the door behind him. She staggers forward and touches her head. In a flashback, young Hal pulls a rowboat onto shore.
This is as far as we go by boat, Rose.
He helps her put on a backpack.
The Yanomami territory extends from the Orinoco forests in Venezuela all the way to the most northern part of the Brazilian Amazon basin. The tribe is 15,000 people and decreasing rapidly. We are truly needed here.
Hal takes a deep breath.
And there's no place else on earth I'd rather be.
Rose grins.
Ready?
She follows him along the bank.
Take a deep breath, Rose. It's the heart of the earth. Getting fun?
Too much.
Now in Rose's bedroom, tissues and a pill bottle clutter the nightstand. Lying in bed, she picks up a thermometer and sticks it in her mouth. As she pulls a sheet up, Rose remembers young Hal sitting by a fire. Young Rose takes a seat next to him and smiles. Hal leans over and kisses her tenderly. Rose touches his cheek, and their embrace deepens. As the young couple gaze into each other's eyes, Rose's face brightens.
Hal, I think I might be pregnant.
He lowers his gaze, then studies her face.
The plan was to work in travel.
Plans change.
Have I ever been dishonest with you?
She knits her brow.
Have I ever promised you anything? Because I can't. I know I can't. I'm not cut out for the normal sort of life.
Rose's eyes shift.
Need to take a walk?
Hal gets up and leaves Rose alone by the fire. She wraps a blanket around her shoulders. Now back in the bedroom.
Am I dying from grief? Or from being discarded?
Rose!
I hear God calling for me. It feels right that I go now. I'm finished.
I've been calling and calling.
What are you doing here?
Go away. You don't get to be here anymore.
Nathan approaches the bed.
Are you okay? You look awful.
He feels her forehead.
You're burning up.
Can I get some water, please?
I'll get it.
As Mindy enters, Nathan eyes her.
I thought you were going to wait in the car.
God, if you have any shred of compassion, you will please go away.
Please, go get some water.
Forget the water. Go wait in the car.
Mindy glances at Nathan and leaves. Now Nathan enters the room with a glass of water and a plate.
Okay, I made some dry toast. Oh. Got some aspirin.
Thank you.
Rose sits up and takes a pill.
Oh. Can you do me a huge favor?
Yeah,
you
sure.
Brush my hair.
Yeah.
It feels like damp straw.
He picks up a brush and sits on the bed.
You remember the time you cut your hair short? And Rachel was so upset she cut her own hair off?
I do.
I remember finding her in the bathroom cutting big hunks off the top of her head.
I found her in there. You were at work.
No.
Yeah.
No, that was me. You're stealing my memory.
You steal mine all the time.
That's true.
As he brushes, she closes her eyes.
Nathan?
Yeah, I'm coming. Here, take it.
Mindy enters.
We're really late.
Yeah, no.
Rose shakes her head and leans back.
So, the aspirin's on the table, and I changed the light bulb over the back door.
Nathan, if I don't make it, I really want Mindy to have the painting from your Aunt Agnes.
He grins.
Thought we burned it.
Rose smiles and thinks.
I saw with clarity the mistake I'd made. I hadn't even noticed that Nathan and I were drifting. We'd been at the stage of taking each other for granted for so long that we'd let love and sex drift to the back burner.
You'll be okay?
He gazes at her thoughtfully, then leaves. Rose stares at the ceiling.
Now there's a thought. Mindy. On the back burner.
Rose turns on her side.
Oh, shut up.
She closes her eyes and covers her ear with a pillow.
Rose, this is Hal Thorne. I'm actually going to be in town next month, and I'd love to catch up. That is, if you still remember who I am.
In a flashback, young Hal walks briskly through the airport and finds young Rose.
I've been looking for you for days.
We lost the baby.
Oh, my God. You know, maybe you should just take it easy for a couple of days.
I'm going home. I want a family. Maybe not now, but someday.
But I love you.
But I have to go.
She walks away from Hal, back in the bedroom.
Contact me. I'm staying in Beverly Hills. I'm at the Hilton. Well, I'd love to see you.
Maddie finds Rose gardening.
I've been calling and calling.
I've been out here counting my blessings. It takes me most of the day.
What happened to having lunch?
Do we have a date?
I have it written in my book in red pen. Get your purse.
No, I'm too depressed.
Ah.
Maddie checks her purse.
Prozac? Wellbutrin? Zoloft? Vitamin A? Folic? FDA banned ephedrine. I know they say ephedrine can kill you, but you know, at least you died then.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, look, we have to get our story straight, you know, for when you murder Nathan.
What?
I'm going to say that you were with me the whole time. I'll go to the movies and I'll get two tickets, and that way you have an alibi. So what movies have you seen?
I don't want to murder Nathan, Matt. I might wish him chronic erectile dysfunction, but I just want to stay home and work in my garden, please.
Speaking of work, what are you going to do?
I don't know yet. Maybe get another job?
Okay, let's go. I have reservations. I have appointments. It's just... too late to cancel. Come on.
Cancel what?
Later in a salon, they sit side by side under hair dryers.
This is called multitasking beauty. I do my Kegel exercises too.
Later, Rose wears a slender black dress and smiles under her lightened and straightened hair. Maddie and she high five.
Fantastic. You look great. Where should we go?
Home. I'm exhausted.
Oh, thank God, me too. That's what I hate about being over 40. I finally have enough money to look great, you know, and too tired to enjoy it.
Nighttime, Rose receives a card for a book entitled A Thousand Olive Trees.
First he calls, then he invites me to his book signing. Clearly I'm not going.
Rose crumples it up and discards it, then uncrumples it. She looks it over, then gazes off. She lays the card aside and gives it a heavy caress. Now she opens another envelope marked with three stamps and no return address. Rose unfolds the handwritten letter.
Oh my God.
Now she knocks on a condo's frosted glass door. Mindy answers.
Rose.
I'd like to talk to Nathan.
I'll see if he's free.
Nathan!
She storms in.
Nathan?
He pulls on a shirt.
Oh, God.
What is the matter?
Rachel just wrote me a letter from Thailand. Apparently she and Richard have gotten married on a Thai beach.
Thailand? What, are you sure?
Yep, I got the letter today, but it could have been sent weeks ago.
There's so much of sex, except I'll kill him.
They said they're going to honeymoon there and then return at the end of the month.
What about school?
Well, obviously she's not going to finish her junior year. Nathan, how could she do this?
You were her age when you got married.
That's different.
No, it's not. Young is young. It hasn't changed.
Did you have any idea? Did we miss something?
No, she never even gave me a hint she was thinking about doing this.
He makes a martini.
You know, it might not even be legal. I mean, oh, were they married by? Was there a blood test or a license?
Nathan, Rachel is an adult. She's free to make her own decisions. Well, the fact that she's not including you is sad, but it's not the end of the world.
This is a private family discussion. Why are you still here?
I live here.
Yeah, but surely there's another room you could go into until I leave.
You know, I bet this guy pushed her into it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know Richard's last name.
It's Lockhead.
Lockhead?
Yes.
What, like Blockhead?
Yes.
Mindy leaves, slamming a door behind her.
Can we punish her?
She didn't lose her retainer, Nathan. She got married. I think I've had enough of being here. If you want to talk more about Rachel, you know where to find her.
Okay, well, we'll talk tomorrow once I've had time to think things over.
Rose halts and eyes him.
What?
That's what you said when she asked if she could get her ears pierced. And it's what you said when I told you that we were going to have our second child. We'll talk tomorrow once I've had time to think things over.
She looks wistfully at Nathan, who gives a fumbling nod. His eyes brighten.
You look great, by the way. Did you do something to your hair?
Shut up, Nathan.
What?
Rose leaves the condo. Later, sitting up in bed, Rose reads Hal's latest book. She closes it. As a smile spreads across her lips, the view slowly changes to a bulky electric fan, its rotors cooling a nearby bed. On the mattress draped behind sheer mosquito netting, a young Hal and Rose make passionate love. Jutting from the sheets, one of her bare legs hooks between Hal's. He writhes on top of her as she runs her hands across his sweaty back. They share a deep kiss. Then she lies on top of him and they kiss. Now on a lawn arranged with formally set tables, Rose arrives at a benefit and sees Nathan and Mindy from afar.
You have every right to be here. You deserve to feel confident and powerful. You need a man at your side to determine your self-worth. You're enough. You are perfect.
A perky woman approaches.
Rose!
She hugs Rose.
Oh, it's been forever! How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I would have called, but, you know, Jeff and Nathan are colleagues, and when a couple divorces, it's best to stay friendly with the one that you do business with, you know.
Rose nods.
No offense.
None taken. I never liked you that much anyway.
Rose smiles curtly, takes a glass of champagne, and leaves the woman staring.
Thank you.
Now she hands off her glass and faces a table.
Excuse me. Hello, I'm 18. I'm Rose Lloyd.
A slick, dark-haired man hovers near Rose.
You're the book's editor for the L.A. Chronicle. You look like a gorgeous flower. I'd love to put you in my face.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Sit next to me. You've been seated at the singles table, so I assume you are flying solo.
Well?
Rose sees the perky woman with Nathan and Mindy.
Actually, would you mind holding this for me for 1 second? I'll be right back.
The leering man accepts her champagne glass.
Be right back.
As Rose passes some chatting guests, Hal separates from them.
Rose, is that you? It is.
Oh, my God. Hal, you... You're here. Well, of course you're here. How long has it been?
I think we need a drink.
Yeah.
They step to the outdoor bar.
Two brandy, thanks.
I haven't had brandy in years. Remember brandy?
I do.
Oh, God.
You look beautiful.
Thank you. You look beautiful, too.
Rose thinks to herself.
Why do men age better than women? Or is that a myth?
She checks Hal out.
No, it's true. Well, at least they die younger.
She speaks.
Well, I know for sure that you're doing great. I mean, you're like the most famous travel writer of our time, right? Tell me, where have you been lately?
I've been digging wells in Namibia. Or should I try and come up with something a little more glamorous? You know, I bought that olive farm in Italy. Mm. By a stroke of guilty luck, my readers are helping me pay for it. What about you?
Tell him you're wonderful. Do not tell him the sad story that is your life. You are happy and well and prosperous.
I am happy and well and prosperous.
I had a hunch you might be here.
Yeah? Really? No.
No. I asked my publicist to invite you. So tell me about yourself.
My husband left me for my assistant who stole my job and my dignity.
Okay, well, I got married. I have two children. I have a son and a daughter and... Tell me more about the olive farm.
It's the most beautiful place on earth.
Rose nods, hanging her head.
Did that, olive cutting I gave you, did it take?
I built my entire garden around it.
Hal's eyes brighten, and he nods.
So you're good?
Yeah.
Her nodding grows tentative.
Hal, the man from the National Geographic is here.
Rose, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
My publicist.
Hi.
And Kathy, this is Rose, my first true love. She tells me her life's fine, but can I be sure?
He may want to publish your piece for the December issue.
Ooh, December. Sounds important. Well, you wait here. I'll be right back. I want to hear more about your life.
I'll be right here. Me and all my happy times.
Yeah. I'll just stay right here and wait for him to come back so we can continue talking about me and my pathetic life.
Glancing behind her, Rose observes Nathan and Mindy over one shoulder and then waves to Hal over the other.
Note to God, given the choice, I'd rather age well and die early.
She sneaks off. Seated in a sunny park, Rose checks her watch.
Sorry I'm late. Budget meetings and everything.
I'm used to it.
You're used to it? What is that supposed to mean?
It means that when you say come at 2 o'clock, I come at 2:30. I've been doing that for 25 years.
And what if I showed up on time?
It didn't happen. But we're not here to discuss your promptness, or is that what we're here to discuss?
Let's walk.
Fine.
Nathan takes off his suit jacket as they mosey along.
I saw you at the benefit.
Really?
Who was that man you were talking to?
You mean Paul Carlin, the theater critic? Or?
Hmm.
Oh, you must mean Hal Thorne. Yeah, the man I went out with over 25 years ago, but whose ghost still haunts you and gave you the license to leave your wife and your children.
If he meant nothing to you, then why'd you tell Mindy about it?
Oh, please. Women talk to each other about all the little things in their lives.
Oh. Well, she said that you told her that sex with Hal was the best that you ever had.
And it didn't occur to you that Mindy took a piece of information about my past to manipulate you.
He stares slack-jawed.
Look, I made some lists. It's about how things should be divided. Just take them and see if you agree.
Rose unfolds the single page.
It's no iron at Mindy's?
Mindy doesn't iron. She's not like you, Rose.
Of course not. She's a post-feminist. By the way, I'm going to go back to work.
Good. Get your resume out there. You're highly qualified. Any paper in the country would be lucky to get you.
I'm well aware of my qualifications. I don't need a pep talk from you, okay?
Nathan points out a hot dog vendor.
Can I at least buy you lunch? Come on, I'm starved.
It's pretty fancy, I don't know.
Only the best.
Rose eyes him as they approach the hot dog cart.
I'll have a foot long, please.
Yep, me too, with the works.
No onions for him. Sorry, I'm just used to ordering for you and your well-deserved peptic ulcer.
I guess it's one of the habits you get from living together for a long time. It's comfortable.
You're comfortable? Yeah? Yeah, that's good. It's just that you don't get to feel comfortable with me anymore. No. See, you lost that right when you decided that comfort and history and affection weren't enough for you.
She mashes a hot dog in his face. Later, she uses the phone.
Oh, yeah, it's just the Chronicle.
She polishes silver.
Yeah, I was reading your paper today, and I saw that your new bookseller gave a positive review at Green Meadows. Yeah, well, I was appalled because it is clearly a ripoff of Richard Kaysen's book, Sam's Brother. Uh-huh. Yeah, also,
Oh, hi, Dan. Yeah, this is Rose. All right. You're welcome.
Mom? I'm home.
Rachel!
Rachel enters. They hug.
Here I am, a married woman with a ring and everything.
That's a tattoo, honey.
I know, it's fun, huh? And it lasts longer than a real ring.
Passing it down to your children will be a bit harder, but... So, where's the groom?
Oh, he went to visit his parents. They're all freaked out we got married without him.
Imagine that.
Oh, Mom, I am so excited. Let's have a party and celebrate.
You mean like a wedding, but without the wedding?
And you, Mom, how are you? Tell me everything that's going on.
I'm good.
Are you sure? Or are you just masking your true feelings to spare me?
I'm sure.
I'm good. I was worried I'd come home and find you in a fetal position and crying.
No, let's go call your dad. I'll get you something to eat.
That's good, Mom. That's good. Keep busy.
Later, Rose cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. Tell me everything about Richard and the wedding.
Oh, you would have loved it. Imagine a tropical setting. The food is served on banana leaves. The guests danced in the sand and dove naked into the sea.
Are you sure that Richard is the man you want to spend the rest of your life with?
Isn't the rest of your life rather ambitious after what you and Dad just did? I no longer think in terms of forever. I love Richard now.
Don't be so cynical. Your dad and I almost made it.
I am so sorry you weren't there, Mom. It was so beautiful. And you'll like Richard once you get to know him. You and Dad got off to a bad start with him by asking him about jobs and future and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm calmer. More centered since I married him. He keeps me even.
Hello? Anybody home?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God! Daddy's here! Daddy!
Rachel hurries out past her mom and meets her dad at the door.
Daddy!
He blocks her from hugging him.
No.
Oh, you look horrible. You've been in the sun, Dad. You're allergic to the sun. Why would you go into the sun?
Desert hot springs for the weekend. Don't ask.
Rose joins them.
Now, what have you done, little girl?
I got married. Be happy for me.
Well, I'm trying. It's just that I always thought that when you got married, it would be to someone we understood.
What? You don't even know him. How could you be so cruel?
I've met him. And I'm a pretty good judge of character. How could you have done this to your mom? I mean, you know she wanted to be at your wedding.
How could I do this to Mom? You run off with a woman half your age, deserting her. What, you're a saint, but Richard, who truly loves me, is a bum? I'd say you have a little character building to do yourself.
You apologize. I am still your father.
My father? Oh, I thought you divorced us.
As Rachel jogs upstairs, Rose moves in.
She's got a point.
His ex-wife leaves him standing alone in the hall. Nathan gingerly puts his shades back on. Later, he finds Rose in a gardening shed and shows her an empty humidor.
Yeah, I threw them all away.
Even the Cubans?
Uh-huh.
You threw away my Cubans. How could you do that?
You left me for my assistant. How could you do that?
I need to talk to you about something, Rosie.
Never call me that again.
I just want you to think about what I'm about to say.
Oh, not this game again. What is it? Mindy needs a kidney and I'm her only match? What?
What if I bought out your half of the house? After I had it professionally appraised, of course.
What?
I talked to Ed and he said it would save you money, which you will need.
Well, I talked to him too and he didn't mention anything. And what? You would move in here? Into my house?
That would be the easiest solution, and it is my house, too.
It was your house. You abandoned it, remember?
She kneels at some rose bushes.
You know, if you had told me a year ago that I would be here right now, I never would have believed you. What happened, Rosie?
Rose.
What happened? We were walking next to each other, discussing, you know, like whether to paint the house or not. And then I turned and looked, and you weren't there.
I'm sorry, is this some kind of metaphor? Because we haven't discussed painting the house in 10 years. Why would she even want to live in this house? She hates anything practical and settled.
She wants to start a family.
You're kidding.
Rose, I promise you, I'm thinking about you with the house. I'll be able to give you more money.
I appreciate your thoughtfulness. While I'm alive, Mindy will never live in this house.
supposed to be buried here anytime soon. We can negotiate.
She turns an outdoor valve and sprinklers come on, dousing Nathan. As he retreats, Rose smiles to herself. Downtown.
Oh, sorry to keep you waiting, Mrs. Lloyd. Thank you very much for coming in today. Yeah. Unfortunately, what we're looking for is not just someone with experience, which clearly you have. We need somebody that can think on their feet. Grow with the times. Bring something...
You know, if you gave me this book to review, I would thank the author for educating us on the current responsibilities of single women in today's society. But I would also remind him and our readers that not only is he not qualified to speak from a single woman's point of view, but he's also plagiarizing the works of Dr. Greta Marchand.
Very good. Few people seem to have discovered that Julie Bradford is the pen name John Carter uses when he writes in drag.
It's a piece of information I got the hard way. I followed the author into the ladies' room.
Rose shakes their hands.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Hope to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The two young execs swap looks, now at Amelia's.
I was thinking pink salmon for lunch. It's in season. Looks pretty on the plate.
Oh, Grandma, we're already married. This is just a party. It doesn't need to be so formal. I was thinking Chinese food.
Oh, I didn't realize Richard was Chinese.
He's not.
Here go, the salmon.
It's just family and a few friends, Mom. We'll have it at the house, and we'll use the good china.
We have good china?
Uh-huh.
Well, I've never seen it.
That's because it's the good china. It's never seen unless someone gets married or dies. Feel grateful that you've never had to see it.
That's him. I told Richard to meet me here.
Rachel bustles to the door. Richard enters in a suit and tie. He grins at Rachel, his curly hair cut short. Rachel takes his arm and presents him to her mother and grandmother.
Mom?
Rose gapes, then smiles and waves.
It's okay, my parents did the same thing. My haircut was a present to my bride. Like Samson, I have sacrificed my hair to a woman.
Isn't that the sweetest thing? Mom, tell me the truth. Isn't he wonderful?
Her heart is too full to speak.
Rose stifles a laugh. Later, at her house, she checks messages.
You have 3 messages.
Hello, this is Howard Binko from the Gazette. Listen, I heard you were no longer with the Chronicle, and I'm wondering if I could take you to lunch and discuss employment opportunities.
Hello, Mrs. Lloyd. This is Philip with LA Life. We really enjoyed meeting you, and we'd love to offer you the job. So, give us a call.
Hi, it's Hal. I'm back in the country for a couple of days. I leave on Wednesday, but I'd love to buy you dinner. I'm at the Hilton in Beverly Hills. I've got a cell phone. It's 555-0127.
Rose jots down the number and smiles to herself. Shaking her head, she crosses to her desk. Rose plays with the boat neck collar of her top and stares at the phone. Patting her thighs, she returns to the phone, picks up the handset and dials.
Hello?
She hangs up. Rose droops a little, then gets out her day planner and pages through it on her lap.
Hello?
Hi, Rose. Was that you that just phoned me?
Hal? Well, yeah, it was. I just dropped the phone. No, actually, I was calling you back to invite you to dinner tomorrow night.
Oh, nice.
Unless you're busy, which is fine. We could, we could do it another night. By the way, I'm divorced. Did I mention that?
I'd love to come to dinner tomorrow night. What, about 7:30?
Yeah, that's great. Just casual. Okay, yeah. I'll just whip up something simple.
Great.
All right.
Bye.
See you when I see ya. See you when I see you. What the hell language is that?
Now wearing a striped bib apron, Rose snaps asparagus spears in half, then moves a steaming pot to the sink. Next, she mashes potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Just casual. I'll just whip up something simple.
She grinds fresh pepper over the potatoes. She then triggers a salad spinner button and dumps greens into a bowl. A handful of cherry tomatoes follows. On the dining table, white roses sit clustered in a glass bowl. At the table's corner, a pair of brocaded red placemats matches two napkins and ring holders. Rose adds two red tapers and crystal candlesticks. She then shifts the chairs closer to the corner and draws the place settings together too. Rose smiles seductively at one empty chair.
So nice to see you.
She tugs her t-shirt collar downward and reveals her cleavage. Later in her robe, she lifts a bundt mold off of a golden brown cake. She eyes the elaborate meal as she sprinkles powdered sugar on the cake.
It's fine. There's nothing desperate about this.
She suddenly halts.
Oh, dear.
Rose hustles off. Now upstairs, she calmly shaves her legs by a filled tub.
Why are you shaving your legs when you clearly don't plan to have sex?
Rose shaves more quickly. Later, wearing a slip, she looks at herself in a mirror.
Although, I could have sex if I wanted to. I'm an adult, free of commitments.
She sips some wine, then straightens, smoothing out the fabric of her undergarment.
Besides, Nathan never thought of my feelings while he was with that harlot.
She dims a lamp, then sprays perfume and walks into the mist.
Sex today is recreational. You don't have to be married. You just have to be present and interested.
Standing at the mirror, she holds her hair up. She turns off another lamp, then holds up a lit candle.
There you go. Just keep your bra on in the room dark and might not run.
She fluffs her hair with her fingers. She glances over her shoulder, then has another sip of wine. Later. Wearing a tight black outfit, Rose hurries to the dining room and dims the lights. She approaches the front door, halts, and undoes a button on her shirt. She opens the door.
Hal, you came. Come in.
I was glad you called.
Well, why wouldn't I call? I mean, my husband left me for my assistant. I make a lot of calls. I'm sorry, that didn't make any sense, did it? I think I'm a little nervous.
He's an idiot. Your husband, he's an idiot. His new girlfriend isn't anywhere near as beautiful as you are.
Thank you. But you've never met her.
Doesn't matter. I know the type.
Later.
Delicious.
Thank you. So, tell me more about yourself.
Well, I'm stationary for the first time ever. And that's thanks to the farm in Umbria, which is, you know, sort of a sanctuary.
He pours her another glass of wine.
He wants you. You want him. What's keeping you from dragging him into your bed?
Rose drinks.
You know, I've never forgiven myself for the way I treated you in Brazil. I guess I was scared.
We were kids. I forgave you a long time ago.
Do you regret it, marrying Nathan?
No. Never. I never wanted it to end, but you know, it has, and actually, I'm beginning to realize I'm okay with it.
I'm gonna go now. Because if I stay, I'm just gonna want to kiss you.
Oh. Well, we definitely don't want that to happen, so maybe you really should be going, because
they kiss. As they savor each other's lips, Rose opens her eyes.
Ah, I remember this. This is who I was before I got old and closed off to don't go away, okay? I'll be right back.
They both get up.
The loo.
Right, it's, right that way. And get another bottle of wine while you're at it. And,
she crosses in front of him on her way to the door. She directs him down the hall. She looks through the peephole.
Oh, Rachel.
Pinching her low-cut shirt closed, she opens the door.
Rachel, what are you doing here? What's wrong?
I married the wrong man.
What do you mean? What did he do?
Well, it's off.
She turns them on.
I made dinner. I mean, from scratch, dinner.
I made beef stroganoff.
Well, but Richard doesn't eat red meat.
Exactly. I made it with tofu.
Okay.
That is how considerate I am.
Right.
And then he calls me to say he's going to be late because he has to finish some work thing.
Right. And you don't believe him?
Well, of course I believe him. It's just I work so hard. I had the whole evening planned. It was our 3-week anniversary. Do I leave him?
Rachel, you're my daughter, and I love you very much, but you need to get over yourself. You're married now. You're going to have to learn to put Richard first once in a while.
Why are you whispering?
Honey, I can't rescue you anymore from this bad life you're not having. Do you want this marriage to work? Do you want to spend the rest of your life with Richard?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Then love him and support him and be his best friend, and don't let a day go by without telling him how important he is to you. Learn from your parents' mistakes, honey.
So what should I do?
Go home. Now. Just go. Now.
But why are you wearing my shirt? You told me that shirt looks slutty on me.
Rose glances over her shoulder.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm interrupting. Mom. I'm so happy for you.
Okay. She turns off the lights.
I'm so happy. Oh, I knew Daddy would come back.
She runs in.
Oh, my God.
Hi.
Honey, this is my friend, Hal Thorne. Hal, this is my daughter, Rachel.
I think I'm gonna go.
Okay.
Rachel heads for the door, then stops and takes a look at the candlelit dining room.
Ew.
On her way out, she turns the lights back on.
She's lovely.
Thanks.
She takes his arm as they head toward the dining room.
So, where were we?
Hal puts down a bottle of red wine. Rose runs her hands up his collar and pulls him in for a kiss. She pulls away.
I'm sorry. Moments passed.
Don't worry. I understand. Maybe you're not as over your husband as you think you are.
I don't know. It's all so new. I don't know what I'm doing.
You just got to give it a little time. You'll find your footing.
Thanks.
Or we could just hop in the cot for old time's sake.
Hop in the cot?
Yeah, I'm joking. But I thought it was worth a shot.
Oh, it's definitely worth a shot.
You know, when you're a little less confused, you come visit me at the farm. You come and have an adventure.
All right.
She grins as he kisses her cheek.
You can have your own wing.
Thank you.
Wearing a tight-lipped smile, he rubs her arm, then opens the front door.
Bye.
Bye.
As he exits, Rose closes the door, then leans against it, holding her fingers to her lips. In the dining room, flower-cut vegetables garnish a salmon platter. As Sam holds a cell phone to his ear, his grandmother passes. She pulls Rachel away from a guest and walks her past the open front door. Nathan arrives wearing a gray suit and striped tie.
Amelia,
how are you? I haven't seen you in ages.
We're having pink salmon, the bride's in pink. And you're a horse's rear end.
Appreciate your honesty, as usual.
The only good thing about getting old, you can say whatever you want. Nathan, your time is running out.
I'm sorry?
Your window of opportunity. The time you have between walking out on your wife and coming back. I'm afraid, if you don't come home soon, the window will slam.
Amelia strides off. Rose approaches wearing an orange sleeveless dress.
Well, you're looking very father of the bride. So you're getting your shirts sent to the dry cleaners.
Well, I had to, yes. And you look beautiful.
Thank you.
Your mother just called me a horse's rear end.
No, really. Hi, G, nice to see you.
You know, you're right. Richard does clean up well.
I told you. Oh, ready for a shock? He just got a job in advertising, and he's buying a condo on the west side. He may be son-in-law material after all.
Well, he does have a life. How did he keep it so well hidden all this time?
As she waves at a guest, Nathan stares at her.
You know, this is the day that we've dreamed of together for so long. Watching Rachel walk down the aisle.
No aisle, and we're no longer together. End of dream.
Later, in the backyard, Sam uses his cell phone.
No, everybody understands. I mean, Saturday's your busy day. I'll bring you a piece of cake when I see you tonight. Okay, then I'll see you tomorrow night.
Rose and Amelia over here.
Yeah, I got the dog food and your tofutti. Okay, I love you too.
He hangs up.
Cake's not great, but the frosting is decent.
She puts a fingerful of frosting in his mouth.
That was Alice. She's sorry she couldn't make it.
That's okay.
Sweetheart, I love you with all my heart. Dump this girl. She's playing you for a fool. Get on with your life.
Mom, what happened to working on your relationship no matter what?
That's only if you've exchanged vows. If you're not married and things aren't going well, cut your losses. Move on.
You know, honey, she's right. You deserve to be with someone who cares enough to be there for you.
I thought you liked her.
I do like her. I like her because you like her.
She's good to me.
Really, when?
He shifts awkwardly.
Not that often. Some things about being with her are great.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming because you're talking to your mother and your grandmother that you are referring to her cooking.
Yeah, let's call it her cooking.
Well, good cooking is good. It's just not enough to devote yourself to someone. There has to be something more.
It's enough for Dad.
Rachel and Maddie come outside.
Oh, my God.
What?
Mom, I told you I wanted it to be just us.
What are you talking about?
The trophy slut is out front.
No, Nathan would never do that.
Later, Rose marches around the porch.
Two people jumping in flies.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. Mindy, could I have a word with you?
Sure. Excuse me.
What the hell are you doing? You have no right to be here.
I wanted to be here. Rachel's practically my stepdaughter.
Oh, God. Are you delusional as well as stupid? Rachel
is nothing to you. I'm sorry, Rose, but I want to understand this part of Nathan's life.
No. What you want to understand is there's a really good chance I will strangle you.
Quiet, everyone, yes. Quiet. Where's Rose? Rose!
I'm asking you to leave.
I didn't come here to cause a scene.
Rose!
I am telling you, leave now while you can.
Rose heads for the front door.
Go.
In the living room.
Oh, Rose, come in. Come on in. Poster. We would like to propose a toast to Rachel and Richard. May you have many years of love, luck, happiness, and joy. Marriage is a gift, one that should be cherished, and nurtured, and cared for, and just bear with me.
Nathan unfolds a slip of paper.
When two souls divided meet to ignite, the fires come...
He spots Mindy.
Combine.
She avoids his gaze.
combined will burn ever bright. Even death will fail to extinguish their flame, for true love is forever in body and name.
He faces Rose.
First of all, that was a beautiful speech, Nathan. It's just too bad that you're so full of crap. And also, you can divorce me, you can fire me, you can even have your damn mistress show up at our daughter's wedding party, but nobody can take away the perfection of this moment. To my darling Rachel, you are the best of both of us in every way, and I love you so much, and I'm so proud of you. And your new husband, Richard, welcome to our family. Such as it is.
To Rachel and Richard.
Rachel hugs her mother. Nathan kisses his daughter's cheek, gives Richard a hug, then approaches Mindy.
I thought we agreed that you weren't going to come.
I came for you.
Well, I think we'd better. So we're going to go.
No.
It was a beautiful speech, Rose.
Thank you.
As Nathan and his girlfriend leave, Maddie puts her arm around Rose.
Well, I haven't seen you pull it together like that since Nathan gave you a surprise 40th birthday party on your 38th.
Nighttime, in the kitchen. As Rose puts away dishes, Nathan peeks in from the back door.
Can I come in?
It's kind of late.
He shrugs.
5 minutes? Here, I'll take these up.
He grabs several filled trash bags. As he squeezes out through the back door, Rose stands on a step stool. He returns, closing the door behind him. Rose stows the dishes in a high cabinet as he approaches.
So, that was some kind of wedding.
Yeah, that was some kind of something.
I'm sure we'll look back on this someday and laugh.
Really? And when do you think that'll be?
Not anytime in the near future.
Thought my mom was gonna die.
Well, we already had all the good china out. So.
He helps her put away wine glasses.
Thanks.
So, Simon wants you to call him.
Oh, call him? Oh. I didn't realize hell had frozen over.
Yeah, Mindy's being moved to consumer affairs.
He drinks some champagne.
Oh, really?
I am so sorry, Rose, about everything. It was all my fault. I hurt so many people who I love. I hurt you.
It's true. It was all your fault.
He frowns.
No, I'm sorry, too.
For what?
For not even noticing you were gone. Long before you were gone. I guess I just took us for granted.
Nathan hangs his head.
I was a fool, there are things that I can't talk to Mindy about. I miss talking to you. You're my best friend.
As Rose smiles, her eyes well with tears.
Oh, my God. My mom was right again. She told me you'd come home. And every month that went by, I was sure she was wrong. I forget she's never wrong.
I don't know why I did what I did. I know that I can't tell Mindy not to have a baby. That the only babies I'm interested in are our grandchildren. Maybe I made the mistake of thinking that sex was something it wasn't.
Well, at least you had fun making the mistake.
Shut up, Rose.
Here you are, offering me everything I wanted back. Chance to stuff it in Mindy's face. And you, finally remembering that you're a married man.
She shakes her head.
6 months ago, I would have given anything to hear you say all this.
Nathan shrugs.
But I think we blew it, Nathan. Once the kids were gone and we were on our own, we finally had the chance to really, you know, enjoy each other again. But we didn't. We weren't even paying attention. Obviously, that wasn't enough for you. But somehow, I was okay with that. I'm not anymore.
He looks at her with a sober gaze.
We're already getting used to being apart, right? And anyway, we'll never lose each other entirely, right? Someday, your new children can play with our grandchildren.
That's not funny, Rose.
It's a little funny, right?
He rubs his brow, then takes a sip of champagne.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. Anything? Everything? And I thought about it. If you want the house, it's okay. It's yours. It's too many memories. Go on, Nathan. Go on. Go talk to Mindy.
A faint smile crosses Rose's lips. She lowers her gaze.
She's your new soft place to fall.
She rubs Nathan's arm. He pulls her hand away, clasps it in his own, then steps past her. Rose's mouth hangs open as she stands with her back to him. Daytime. In his office, Simon holds a phone receiver to his ear.
You and I both know what happens in business
it's not personal, right?
Well, that is absolutely one way to look at it.
You know, the truth is, the book pages have really been disappointing.
Really? I find that so exactly what I thought would happen.
If I told you that your old job could be available sooner rather than later, what would you say?
What are the details?
More money, better contracts, all the groveling kiss-ass stuff that it takes.
Wow. Thank you for that offer. I'd like to give it some serious thought. Could you hold for a moment, please? Yeah, thanks.
Rose puts her phone down on a desk and clicks a computer mouse. She performs dance moves. She does the skate, then joins her hands overhead and wiggles her hips. Rose pinches her nose and shimmies downward, then picks up the phone.
Simon, I'm so sorry you had to wait. Listen, I have given your offer some serious thought, and I have decided to pass. Yeah, it's nothing personal. I've just got some better offers, and frankly, I've decided that I can no longer work for such a sexist, ageist, scum-sucking pig.
She hangs up. Rose leans back and shakes her arms in the air as she rocks from side to side. Later on the front porch.
I'm carrying all my good jewelry in my bra. That's the safest way to travel.
A chauffeur carries a travel bag to a limousine.
Here we go.
Mindy arrives.
Rose, run for your life.
Mindy, what are you doing here?
You passed on the job.
Yeah.
Why?
Look, we would love to stay and chat, but Madeline and I are flying off to Paris to go shopping.
Can I come too?
Sorry, we only have 2 tickets, and if we get another one, the driver said he wants to go.
No, I don't want to live in your house, Rose. I don't want all your things peering at me, calling me names.
Tough. You made my bed, now go and lie in it.
You've done everything right. Nice husband, nice house, kids, career. Now you're free to rediscover yourself.
Very true. Except you've forgotten just a few things, like humiliation, betrayal, bottomless sense of failure, suicidal thinking, little things like that.
Now, despite what the doctors predicted, I'm pregnant. With twins.
Maddie stifles a smile.
2 boys. I don't even like little boys. And Nathan doesn't know yet.
Rose.
Yeah, oh, I need to go. It could take hours to get Madeline's breasts through security. Well, good luck.
Mindy frowns as Rose hurries around the back of the limo, grinning.
The world is open to me in a way I never expected. It's filled with endless possibilities.
Donde está Louis Vuitton y Christian Dior?
That's Spanish, man.
I know, I'm gonna trick them. They don't like Americans in France.
Now a boxy European car drives along a vineyard.
My ticket is open-ended. Kind of like my life. In between Paris and Milan, I've decided to take a short detour to Umbria. We're not sure where that kiss could lead.
Riding in the back seat, Rose smiles.
Turns out, Europeans don't believe a woman reaches her prime till her mid-40s. How did they get so smart?
As the car stops, Hal approaches. He opens Rose's door.
Benvenuto, belladonna.
Buongiorno.
How wonderful to see you.
Oh.
Let me get that thing.
As he reaches into the back seat, she looks around at the picturesque landscape.
Beautiful. I've learned so many lessons. I've learned that out of pain and humiliation, and short of double homicide, the best revenge is a life well led.
As they walk toward us grinning, the image freezes.